بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عز الشيخ الحديث مولانا محمد زكريا صاحب رحمة الله عليه says, well, when I was about 14-15 years of age, I had written a letter to my elder, مولانا رأي بوري صاحب رحمة الله عليه. My father got to know about it, so my father corrected me, and he says, "Ke abhi tak to dawa zinda hai, aur tune istiqlal ka jhanda ko khada kar diya." Says, "Your father is still around." And you have hoisted the flag of independence. Now he's already about 14-15 years of age. Perhaps he's finished his hifz and about completing as an alim. What he's embarking upon is right. There's nothing wrong, nothing doubtful about what his father is doing, or what he is doing, writing to a senior saintly person on a Rai Puri Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So outwardly he's not doing anything wrong. But the father corrects him in this respect. Okay, you need to ask of me before you do this as well. Thereafter, when he was about 19-20 years of age, and very settled in his ways, with his father's permission, he went up to Raipur, stayed for some days there. And then he writes up to his father that I'm missing you, and I'm here for so many days, so many years I was with you, I wouldn't separate. Now I've separated, I'm here for some time, and I do miss you. His father then replied to him, says, you need the care, the guidance, the direction, and the mold of the senior until you are firm in your ways. When you are absolutely firm in your ways, very, very mature, very firm, then you don't need that level of guidance as you needed when you were small. The word that he used was nisbat. In other words, when your connection with Allah Ta'ala is very firm and strong, then it's unlikely that you can be changed. You have already taken a shape, and that shape will then remain. And when you are younger, then you haven't yet connected yourself with Allah Ta'ala very, very deeply, then there's all types of influences around. The radio is around, the internet is around, the media is around, your friends are around. And you are human, so you cannot say that you cannot get affected with the influences. Something can influence you, and each one will take you in his own direction. Every person has got his own agenda. He's got his own train of thought. He will take you along the thought that he feels right. He will take you. And the original thing for a believer is to get the right shape with Allah Ta'ala. Shape that is in conformity with Allah Ta'ala. The shape, the color, and the link with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. He's got that. Then after that, nothing can distort him. It's like that young stem that is coming out of the ground. As it is coming out and shooting out of the ground, right, it's a very delicate, and there isn't the favorable weather conditions. The stem is very delicate. It's an indigenous plant, very precious, very expensive, but it is also very delicate. because it's delicate, it is very precious, very expensive, then you will give it all the type of support that it requires. It doesn't get destroyed in the wind. It doesn't get destroyed in a flood. And it takes the shape, the size, and the texture that you want. Then when this tree comes up and it is sturdy, it can stand on its trunk very, very well, sound and rooted. Now it doesn't require the supports. Up until then it required the support. But when it's rooted very, very firm, sound, its roots are deeply entrenched into the ground, it can fend for itself more or less, then it doesn't require all these additional supports. So exactly the same, this is mankind. Anything and everything will work on him. Any influence, every type of influence can work on him. One wind is coming on one direction, he can get influenced. The other wind is going on the opposite direction, he gets influenced. If he's in an environment of materialism, then he gets carried away with materialism. He feels that this is the thing that I should be investing in. So that influence plays such an important role in his life. Whereas the right thing in the child was to build in values in the child. More than everything else is the building up of values. Even there's an environment, there's a surrounding, and the surrounding, the people, ambience, people, surrounding. They talk in a certain way, and you get influenced. Right? Very seldom will you find a situation where you don't get influenced. You must get influenced. See, like, in the environment that we are, there is a lot of emphasis on materialism. Circularism, right? There's a lot of emphasis. So if anybody shifts away, moves away from this, then he doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't have a future. He's not secure. So you will all shout at him. You will all reprimand him. You will all talk against him. But what has molded our minds, the thing that has molded our minds, is the environment, right? People are talking. The media is saying the same thing. The schools are doing the same thing. So when there's so many people from so many quarters talking about the same thing, then this is what happens to that individual. And when this becomes the primary thing in that individual, then he will seem to be respectable if he has that. So we will accord respect to that. If he doesn't have that, then we don't consider him as a respectable person. But when we really go and analyze what is respect, what is the more respectable thing, we'll find it is values. Right. There was one friend of mine's. Allah Pak blessed him with wealth. So there was a request from his family, etc., that we put up a swimming pool. He asked me, what do you think about it? I told him, that as the summer season approaches, many people ask for that, many people want to do it. But for this type of thing, you need a very strong sense of responsibility, number one. At any given time, you must be responsible. Because our lifestyle is such, okay, our family is coming one day, friends are coming another day, you are gone on a holiday, someone is staying in for you. And sometimes he's got a small child, someone is slipping into the place. And then if you have an accident, then the whole blame comes onto yourself. And then you can't live with that type of memory, that this child died in my yard. Number one. Number two is, Islam doesn't discourage this type of activity. It doesn't discourage it. Some type of permissible activity, recreation, Islam will encourage it. It will not discourage it. But overall, when I look at what's going on today, then you know, I have an aversion for many type of sports. Because I look at it from a long term, not a short term, and I don't feel so comfortable. I'm explaining to this youngster. So he wanted to know why. He said, alright, this type of things require a little bit of illustration, and then you'll understand, you'll come to terms. Explain to him, see, there was a wedding going on, and the mother is widowed, and she is eager to see her son married. Son also selected a girl for himself. The wedding preparations are going on. So in the wedding preparations, because they are loaded, and extra loaded, so the son wants it in a certain way, and the mother wants it in a different way. Now, the son cannot agree with what the mother says. Perhaps she's a little bit old, so she's a little bit old-fashioned. And he wants it his way. So in all that, the son uses an F word, swear word. So yeah, nothing works with you people. And he gets up and he goes away. Now you analyze the situation and try and understand that what prompted this type of behavior, right? There's a lot of things that prompted this type of behavior. But that is one aspect. Look at it from a different perspective. I ask you, you see, when you got a child, first child, second child, or third child, a marriage is a very happy occasion. It's a very happy occasion, you're cheering up, happy, people are complimenting you. And it's a very good environment that's going on, right? Now I ask you, that when this mother got the swear words from her own dear little son, right, darling son, now in this entire event, will there be any happiness? She will go with the motions, well, I have to do it, I must do it, I can't help it, but I ask you, deep down within her heart, has she got any feelings for the son now? That this is my darling son, this is what I did for this son, I brought him up, I made him very, 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 very strong financially, materially, I made him very strong. But for all what I have done, this is the reward that I have got today. Is it worth all what I have done? All what I have acquired? Is it worth it? So you see, this inner satisfaction, inner happiness is a different thing. And the whole world is going in one direction, the outer, the glamour, the glitter, the attraction. And that inner happiness and fulfillment is a total different thing and will be found in a different way. But for that we need to understand that there is a thing like values. So the Shaykh's father, rahmatullah alayh, he was in the education and he saw life. He understood life very deeply, very well. After seeing all the highs and the lows of life, then he says to his son, see, when you were 14, 15, I checked you up. I corrected you for writing that letter without having it supervised by me. Without having it being checked by me. Because you were different at that time. You were still too young, still too naive. And you could have been misled into something. Right? Your understanding could have not been right. But now when you are firm in your ways, you are strong and rooted, I can see that your relationship with Allah Ta'ala is very strong. Now when your relationship with Allah Ta'ala is very strong, then it's difficult for you to be reversed. Because your relationship with Allah Ta'ala is strong. I can see it. Now the same relationship with Allah Ta'ala, sometimes it takes 40, 50, 60 years to get it. And it was a blessing of Allah Ta'ala that he got it when he was 19, 20. He's so well rooted. Now nothing can change you and alter you. It is like that fruit that has ripened already. Now, can you reverse it, make it green again? It's a person that is matured. Can you bring him back to immaturity? You can't bring him. Can't reverse it. So, the same applies to the person that is firmly rooted with Allah Ta'ala. Is very, very firmly rooted to Allah Ta'ala. Then, we will say then it is virtually impossible for him to fall in wrong. If he falls, then he will recover very quickly. If he falls into something wrong, that you find in the hadith, it's a Hamidiyya incident, right? Where the woman was involved in zina, whatever it was. And she comes to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that cleanse me. Right? In other words, administer the Islamic punishment of stoning, get me out. So initially Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to avoid this. Because if it's just a person confessing, right? And there can be a lot of possibilities. Perhaps the person is misconstrued. Perhaps it is his mind that is working over him. Perhaps he's not in the right frame of mind. So we've got reasons to avoid it. When she kept on insisting and insisting, and she went to the point of saying, cleanse me. In other words, I need to be cleansed. I can't stand this. I can't stand this. And I need to be cleansed. Now when she confessed, and she went on confessing and confessing and confessing, now she's as though forcing the law upon herself. Now you can't avoid it. When she forced the law upon herself, can you avoid it? Can't avoid it now. Because it's that confession upon confession upon confession upon confession, now you can't avoid the law. Before you could have said, alright, maybe something else, you're not in the right frame of mind, you didn't go the whole way, you just went halfway, quarterway, you didn't do the whole thing. You could have avoided the thing. Now, that connection with Allah Ta'ala is so deep, is so well rooted, that I can't see myself in this condition. That I have broken the limits of Allah Ta'ala, I have exceeded the limit of Allah Ta'ala, and I can't see myself like this. You see, so when that connection is very deeply rooted, then you don't feel that ease that you used to feel, the type of comfort, the mental comfort that you felt, you don't experience it any longer. You find some discomfort, some type of an interruption in your mind, interruption in your connection with Allah Ta'ala. Now if you use anything else to compensate for this type of interruption, it's going to be a temporary relief. Someone got a heart problem and you're giving him a Panadol, so it's going to give him relief, or Voltaren, so it's going to give him a relief perhaps for a day or half a day or quarter day, but after that thing will recur. You can't avoid that thing. So the right thing, any person will tell you, that go to the root. The root is, you need to reconnect. What you have done, you have done. And you can't just sweep it under the carpet, go take the right procedure and reconnect yourself. Correct yourself. So this was the thing that was pushing this woman, that I have done this wrong, and I have to get my connection right with Allah Ta'ala, come what may. The world can turn around. What's the use? Like this woman is saying now, what's the use of all that wealth when my own child has turned around against me, using this type of vulgarity against me? What's the use? I don't have the enjoyment in this wealth any longer. You see, the same type of enjoyment is experienced with Allah Ta'ala. And then she feels that, what's the use of me when I have broken the parameters of Allah Ta'ala? So she doesn't find the comfort, she doesn't find the ease, she doesn't find the type of satisfaction and joy as she used to experience. So, in order to get that, you need that sense of maturity. You got that maturity, right? You got that sense of refinement, right? You refine, you mature, then you understand it. Otherwise, you may be physically mature. Mentally, spiritually, are we mature? It's two different things. One is, we are physically mature. Materially, we mature. What will make material, we are very mature in that. But do we have the type of spiritual refinement and maturity? That's a different thing altogether. So that spiritual refinement and maturity will make you feel very uneasy, very uncomfortable. No. What I'm touching on a little today is how you will mold a child, how you will shape the child, and how do you give him the type of color that is required. Because all we are concerned now, he must be a money-making machine. Everything else will fall in place, but really, what is this person? When you want to define a human being, well, he must be able to make much of the material. Right? Everything else, well, reading namaz, you know, not doing haram and all that, in its place. But the whole goal is what? The goal is that he must make more money. Material security, right? Financial security, that is the primary goal. Everything else is by the way. So you may get that type of financial security for yourself or for the child. But that real goal that you needed with Allah Ta'ala, you will not get that. That is why the hadith says, talabul halali faridatun ba'dal farida. That seeking and generating a halal income is an obligation, is farz. But understand it fully in context. See, this is where we go wrong, that we take just one portion of it, be selective. Piety and righteousness is selective. So what the hadith says that faridatun ba'd al farida. It's an obligation after other obligations. In other words, you have got two obligations. One is an obligation to yourself, to the material, to the physical, right? That's one obligation. Otherwise the physical can't continue. So you have an obligation towards the physical, like it's a vehicle, you have an obligation to the vehicle, otherwise the car can't move. But understand that that is the position of the material, it is the position of the vehicle. Ba'd al-farida. And the main thing in this whole equation is the driver. So after the obligation connected to the hereafter, after all obligations fulfilled, those obligations that connect to the akhirat, you have fulfilled that, now this is the obligation. But you turn the whole thing around, then how it happens, that it will happen exactly like how it's featuring today, that this is an obligation, and this must be done by the way. It will just feature here and there. Then if you're having a nikah, how must have the nikah? Have it in the masjid. MashaAllah. You know, the boy also came to the masjid, ready, his Isha namaz, his father, everybody ready, Isha namaz, you know. He was wearing a topi also, eh? Very pious family. But after that, all the dhoom-dhan that took place after that, and then you just balance it up, 5% was Islam, 95% was something else. Something of Christianity was there, walking up the girl into the aisle. Perhaps there was mixed gathering there, carrying on. One side there was some music carrying on. One side there was some videos carrying on. Everything else was taking place. So 5% was Islam, 95% was something else. It wasn't Islam. So you see what it says, faridatun ba'd al-farida. It's an obligation here. But after you have accomplished the real obligation was your obligation to your real goal. You've accomplished that, now do this. But you turn that thing around, how it happens. So you get up in the morning, take an Indian condition, you know, talk of India now. The farmer, the first thing, hey, need to go to the farm. Right? Doodwala, first thing needs to go to the dairy, do some senga koma, carry on, right? He has to go to the farm. Businessman, first thing, gets up, I need to go to the business. The child, first thing, I get up, go to school, go to college. That's the first thing. Right? First thing, that's the primary thing. He must go to the business, he must go to the farm, he must go milk his cows in the dairy, he must go to school, he must go to college, he must go to university. Right? That's the primary thing. And perhaps after the school, everything, the mother will ask him, "Bhai, you read your namaz also?" So that's by the way. You see how we reverse the whole thing. How we reverse the whole thing. Nobody asks not to do it, but get it in order. Aati kulladhi haqqin haqqahu. Everybody's right, give him his right. In the tafsir of the verse, la tabkhasun nasa ashya'ahum. Don't decrease people in their dues. What was the due of that person, give it to him. So when you say don't decrease the person in his dues, then it is in several levels, right? One is, it's a worker, it's an employer-employee relationship, right? Both must see to it that they don't decrease each other's dues. The worker must see that he's employed for 8 hours, he fills his 8 hours. I normally say, if you're working for someone, then give at least about 8 minutes, 10 minutes more. So that if there's any short here and there, you fulfilled. So you, in compliance with this verse of the Quran, don't you decrease the dues of people. And when you do this, then within your heart you'll feel happiness. Hey, no, I did it full. I didn't shortchange the person. Right? And if you shortchange him for 1 minute, feel, hey, you know what? 1 minute I was short. I was supposed to be paid for that 1 minute short, I was supposed to be paid 100 rand less. Right? I'm taking 100 rand more. When I look at it materially, it looks nice, 100 rands more I've got. But deep down within my mind, I feel an uneasiness.
Now, that uneasiness, what does it happen? What does it do to the soul? See, what it does to the soul, it stamps a black spot there. According to the hadith, a black spot comes onto that heart. Now, that black spot, if you ask Dr. Vanker to do the operation, and you want to see that black spot, you won't see it. He won't be able to show you that black spot, right? So it is a black spot that is settled onto the spiritual heart. Once you have done that, you have embarked on something wrong, and that black stain is on the heart now. Initially you feel a very, very restless feeling, very uneasy feeling. Initial, that's the initial, the first leg on a wrong, first leg of that series in a wrong that you have committed, you feel that uneasiness. Like you ask a youngster, you know, for the first time that he's flirted with a girl, you know, he just winked an eye or something very small he's done, he feels very uneasy about it. How could I do such a thing? Until he does it for about the 10th or the 20th time, he says, no, it's part of life now, do it. For the first time, how he felt? Even thinking about it, he felt uneasy. I mustn't get caught out, people mustn't see me, it's wrong, haram, what happens if I die at that time? So all these thoughts will play up in his mind. So this is that hadith which is talking about, that first black stain that is settled in your heart. So this is that spiritual heart that the hadith is speaking about. Right? You may call it the mind, and the hadith may say the ruh, whatever the terminology may be, but you find that uneasiness in your heart. Now sometimes you'll find that uneasiness in this girl, right? Sometimes you may find it in wealth, that this wealth has come, but wrongfully it has come. Now, how do I conduct myself in this wrongful thing? Sometimes the wrongful thing, that uneasiness comes, you swore a person, you insulted him, right? When you insulted him, then you feel uneasy afterwards. You swore him, you insulted him, you abused him, you disgraced him, you put him down. Then you feel an uneasiness within your heart, within your mind, you feel uneasy. How could I have done such a thing? If someone had done the same thing to me, would I have felt comfortable? So you feel that discomfort. Right. So different people will find the discomfort in different things. Nonetheless, if you washed it out in time, with istighfar, tawbah, asking the person for a maaf, and washed it out in time, so that stain has left your heart, it's finished now. Now it's ease again. You find that peace. You're finding that happiness and the cheer that you used to experience, because you cleared it up. You went the right procedure, you wronged the person or you wronged yourself, and you went and corrected the whole thing. Right? Right? You saw something wrong or you heard something wrong, and then you cried to Allah Ta'ala, you cried. Whatever procedures was required, then you will follow the procedure. Then you won't then again, see, we wrong in the wrong as well. We wrong in the wrong as well. Now one person heard this talk about not wronging people, you know, not doing wrong to people. I was studying in Myanmar, they were all young, adventurous boys, you know, 15, 16. So he took some of my kitab. And I'm hunting for that kitab because I had all my notes in that. That person took it away. I'm thinking now, who took this kitab away from me? It was all kept in my juzdan, put into the shelf. Anyway, at the end of the year, he's leaving, we leave, I'm leaving, he's leaving. So he tells me, you know, everything maaf, eh? Everything maaf. I said, everything maaf. Now, I didn't realize that he had stolen my book and he's asking for a maaf for this. But how shrewdly he did it. You see how shrewdly, a deception within a deception. He stole something. There's a deception in that. Now, what he feels to himself, that, you know, I secured the maaf, so everything is washed out. Now, I don't know what he's done to me. I thought, well, we are students now. Maybe I had an argument. I told him something, or he must have told me something. Let's maaf everything before we part ways. But I didn't know that he's taken something of mine like this. Now, isn't that a deception? Imagine someone stole 1 million rand of yours, you don't know about it. And each day he comes and tells you, big maaf. I said, maaf. Hey, that motor car is halal for me now. A deception within a deception. The shaitanic ways, you see the shaitanic ways. So you go the full mile. راہ راست برو گرچہ دورست. You take the right road. Even though it will take you that extra mile, it will cost you that extra mile, but go, take that extra mile and finish it up. Otherwise that connection is suffered. Let me tell you, you're trying to patch it up. You're not going to patch up. Go the full way, go with Allah Ta'ala, go the full way. Whatever it requires for you to patch up the connection, you go the full way and patch it up. And really when a man thinks, and he understands, you know, well, I have done this wrong, I have done this wrong, I have done this wrong, the wrongs will surface. Right? And then he'll want to appease himself. And how he will appease himself, how he will comfort himself, there was a masla about a week ago, 2 weeks ago. So I explained to the person, this is a masla. He understood, I told him, this is a definition of this crime. Do you fall within the ambit of this definition? Yes. So he found it too difficult. He phoned up 2-3 other places. No, it's permissible. So, no, mashallah, it's permissible. I secured the permissibility, it's gone. It's more, it's too strict here. So they said it's permissible, it's right. Now I ask you, what did he do? I didn't feel insulted that he didn't accept what I had to say. But what I'm asking you is that, what did he do in this whole exercise? He just appeased his own mind. He appeased his own mind. You know, that I asked so and so person, so I've done what I needed to do. So now I am over with it. Now, this was exact Jewish behavior. When there was a zina problem in the Jews, right, they couldn't sort it out themselves. They came up to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Surah Maida has got this incident. يَقُولُونَ إِنْ أُوْتِيْتُمْ هَذَا فَخُذُوهُ وَإِنْ لَمْ تُؤْتَوْهُ فَحْذَرُوا. So, they can't go and relate the entire incident before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They had to present it before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in a hypothetical situation. Say, for example, now, if this person made zina with that person, what would be the punishment? So that they cannot be victimized now. So the crime doesn't, the crime is not established. Say, for instance, this person did this zina with that person. So it's hypothetical. Right? When it's hypothetical, how hypothetical can you catch them out? You can't catch them out. And they preempted the whole thing, they organized the whole thing, they say, you know, in utitum hadha fakhudhu wa illam tu'tu fahdharu. You see the Torah, our book, the Jews are talking to themselves. Our book says that if a man and a woman married commit the sin, then they must be stoned to death. But I see this Nabi, then he's a Nabi, you know, he's a Nabi, although we don't believe in him, because we believe that he's a Nabi, he's only meant to be for the non-Jews, not for us. Right? It's supposed to be for the non-Jews, not for us. But we believe in principle that he's a Nabi. So we hear that his law is quite relaxed in comparison with our law. So when his law is quite relaxed, the punishment will also be relaxed. It will not be as severe as our punishment. Our punishment is kill the person. And their law is quite relaxed. When it's quite relaxed, then we'll just go and ask him. This hypothetical situation we'll create and we'll go and ask him. If he gives it in our favor, we'll accept it. And when we'll accept it, if Allah Ta'ala has to summon us on the day of Qiyamah, we'll say, Nabiyyum min Nabiyyik. We went and referred the whole thing to your Nabi, Allah Ta'ala, and he gave us this type of a judgment, so we are clean. See now, what is this? It's playing games. You're playing games and you play games with Allah Ta'ala. So it's just a mental appeasement, a temporary relaxation of the mind. But really, you'll get deeper into the problem. Get into the root, go to do the right thing. You do the right thing, you overload it. Alright, for that moment, you will go through some disgrace. Imam Shafi Rahmatullah says, when you confront with a hurdle, you go the right way. Go and get the whole thing straightened out, right? For that moment, you will go through some disgrace. You will go through some difficulty. People will say something, but for the rest of your life, you know, you'll be winning. Because you went the right way, you finish it up. People say, yeah, you know, you could have done this, you could have done this, you could have done this. But you went the right way. Now I ask you, in your mind, between you and Allah Ta'ala, do you have any type of uneasiness? So, no, I did it, I did the right way. How Allah Ta'ala wanted it, I went and did it, I did it the right way. So do you have any uneasiness? No uneasiness. Do you have any anxiety? No anxiety. The anxiety and uneasiness, where did it come? You tried to shortcut the whole system. You tried to avoid the whole system. You look for an exit out. When you look for an exit, so you appeased yourself for that moment, and you saying yourself to yourself, you know, well, I asked a Nabi, and this is how the Nabi had explained, so I'm going with it. See, these are the games that they play, you see. And Allah Pak doesn't like it. Really, Allah Pak doesn't like it. And then you'll find that you'll have that problems coming all through, right through the journey you'll start having problems. You have problems now, then you'll have it with your wife. Not with your wife, then with your children. And sometimes you have to pay for it, and you have to pay for it very dearly. Let me tell you, if you pay for it, and you have to pay for it very dearly. Sometimes you earn so much, you did so much, and everything, something collapses. Some sickness comes in. Some problems come in. And then in the wording of the hadith, يُنَغِّدُ الْعَيْشِ. When you're playing this type of games, what happens? You know, it was a moment of happiness. It was a moment of joy. Now, Allah Pak brings about such situations that that moment of joy is void of joy. Outwardly, it's a joyous occasion. The man has to show a good face. But is there any joy? Joy is gone, finished. It left him. But he has to show a good face, you know, yeah, very good, mashallah, you came, I'm very happy that you came. But within his heart, how is he feeling? He's hiding that grief, he's hiding that pain, he's hiding that sorrow. And what was the reason? Same, you broke the line with Allah Ta'ala. So, outwardly you seem to be happy, you seem to be moving, everything is happening outwardly. But ask the person within his heart and within the mind, do you find that satisfaction? Do you find that happiness? Do you find that peace? You don't find it. As Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib explains this again in a different way. He says that when you break this line with Allah Ta'ala, then وَلِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah Ta'ala's everything is the slave of Allah Ta'ala. It is the army of Allah Ta'ala. An ant is an army of Allah Ta'ala. Everything is the army of Allah Ta'ala. And he will work, he will use them to work for you, or he'll use them to work against you. Whether it's a germ in your system, whether it's a chemical in your system, whether it's the outer, whether it's the inner. But he'll get something to work for you, something to work against you. So now you'll see now today, right, the amount of progress man has made, he hasn't made in that type of progress before. So much of progress, right? At the press of a button, you're doing this, and you're getting so many things done, right? But from all this, what you wanted, from all what you have done, the advancement, the progress, all what you have done, what was your desire? What did you want from all this? You wanted that mental ease. You wanted that happiness, right? You wanted that satisfaction. You wanted that contentment. I ask you that mental ease and satisfaction that you wanted, after all your discovery, is that on the decline or is it progressing? Ask anybody who is fair to himself, so with all the progress that we have made, all the progress, whatever we have done, but we feel uneasy, we don't feel the happiness, we don't feel the type of satisfaction in what we are doing. So this is that cash punishment of Allah Ta'ala. See, where the hadith says that you do this, then I will let you suffer drought. So the drought of ease, the drought of happiness, that was what you had been working, you've been exerting yourself for that satisfaction, Allah Pak caused a drought within you. Now, you don't find that happiness. Again, you look at, right, medicine and the progress that they have made. There are two examples that Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib has used. He says, the amount of progress they have done in this age, they have never done such progress before. Right? Not so much of progress like what they have done today, right? But the more they're advancing, the more things are becoming more and more complicated. They can't find solutions for it. You know, sometimes I just don't know whether to laugh or whether to cry. The hospitals, when they show how progressive they are, you know, they say all our beds are taken. So I ask sometimes that, is that a moment of grief or is it a moment of happiness? Because a moment of progress, a time of progress, all the beds are freer. But everybody is healthy and prosperous. But the more you are opening hospital, the more it's getting filled. So what does it show? The other way to look at it is, you know, there's so many bits available. Because we're progressing, people's health are improving, standards are improving. There's so much of place in hospital. Now this, you know, all the beds are taken. You can try this hospital here, that hospital, that third, three hospitals, everything is taken up. So is it a progress or retrogress? Is it an advancement or they're going backwards? How are they going? So you looked at it in rosy, right? The happiness. Here you looked in health, right? Then the third thing that man wants is security, right? Three things you look for. You look for rosy. Rosy must go well. Second thing you look for, inner happiness and satisfaction. And the third thing you look for is security, right? So you want to live in a flat, for example, so much of security features. Nobody can come. There's about three checkpoints before you can come in. So you'll go in, pay the rental, you're going. But what is in the back of your mind? Security. Absolute security. You don't want any type of insecurity, right? But now when you cross the line with Allah Ta'ala, with all the security systems that you take, CCTV, police, patrol, burglar guards, whatever you talk of, cover gun, everything. But that feeling of uneasiness, the feeling of insecurity will haunt you. I don't know what's going to happen. What's going to happen? By the same token, there you see one person working in the garden whole day, is working so hard, right? And lunchtime came, he gave some very simple food, you gave him. He's under the tree and he's sleeping, he doesn't know what's going on. No security, no police, no hawk patrol, no burglar guards, absolutely nothing. Now ask you, who is enjoying security and peace? Are you enjoying it or he's enjoying it? So what was meant from all that material, he has got it within himself. You've got it on the outside on display and he's got it within his heart. You've got it, but it's on display. And he's got it, and he's got it within. See, so this is how Allah Ta'ala's system works. But you just join, connect the line with him. And the line to be connected is not a difficult thing. Just be truthful with him. At any given time, just be truthful with him. There were three brothers. I've seen all these three brothers. One was Mawla Iftikhar Sahib, one was Mawla Ihtisham Sahib, and one was Mawla Izhar Sahib. They should come to the Markaz Nizamuddin. One became the head of the madrasa there, and the others had madrasas of their own. So Mawla Ihtisham Sahib, in his youth, there was one buzrug, Mawla Hasan Shah, not an alim, but he was a very pious person. Very, like I say, you know, connect, keep your line right with Allah Ta'ala. You don't have to be an alim, you don't have to know a lot, right, to have the connection right with Allah Ta'ala. But you must know what is required. What is faras, what is wajib, what is sunnat. What is required for you, of you, that you should be knowing. But to have an abundance, that is not the requirement. See, this is where a lot of us make a mistake. Let me look at this. So what are we doing? We are satisfying our mental curiosity. But our spiritual relation, our relationship with Allah Ta'ala, are we improving that? Is it a satisfaction of our mental curiosity? Or is it an improvement with the association of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is what we need to analyze in the deep moments of our life. You know, when we are quiet, everything is at ease. We are very, very relaxed. So am I improving my relationship? If it isn't being improved, then what do I do to improve this relationship? Do I know how to improve it? In this time and age, right? So we need some guidance, right? At any level, we need guidance, we go to someone. And then he's a specialist in this line, he's a specialist in this line. If we've got a problem, we don't feel embarrassed to go to the sugar specialist, go and ask him. Do we feel embarrassed? If we've got a problem with our books, we go to a financial expert or someone to guide us. But now to get this relationship with Allah Ta'ala going right, do we ever take the pains to go and find out from a specialist? SARS is on your head now. Don't you go to someone? Hey, I've got so much of uplang now. Hey, I can't give 10 million now. Let's make a deal now. 1 million. Others I can do something else with it. But don't we go to some specialist how to work it out so that I don't get implicated? If there's a lawsuit filed against you, then don't you go to some expert? Okay, how do I remove this from my life? Don't you go? So we understand that there is a need. Right? Allah will ask you, in every worldly thing, when you saw a need, you saw a severance, you didn't know it, you were speculating. Either you didn't know it, or either you were speculating, let me try this, and you felt it will work. So in every worldly thing, you went and found out. But this thing here, what really connects you and what disconnects you, what makes you and what severs you, did you find out? Did you take the pain and find out? Or you did a self-study? And if the self-study was sufficient, for the heart, well, why did you have to go to a specialist? Why did you have to go to a sugar specialist? Conveniently, the deen thing came, you know, I can do it myself. It's a matter of convenience. So this Hasan Shah, rahmatullahi, he wasn't an alim as such. But now, I just want to show you, when your connection is right with Allah Ta'ala, then how it impacts upon your behavior, your conduct. He's got an invitation. He's somewhere, he's living somewhere in Muzaffarnagar, right? So he's got an invitation at Calcutta, right? That we're doing some foundation, we need you to come. So it's a Muslim's request, but it's a Muslim's invitation, and he's asking me to come, I will go. He's sending the ticket, by train I will come. And it doesn't take up any of my time. So let me go and help that Muslim, let me go and please him. So pleasing, I believe, is also a sawab. And he's invited me, he sent the money across, so I will board the train, and I will go and see that I help my Muslim brother, I help him out, I go and make him feel happy. Before embarking on the journey, he goes to Maulana Ihtisham Sahib and he says, you know what, I've been invited here for laying a foundation here, and the hadith says that we shouldn't be embarking on a journey alone, right? So I need you to join up with me. Now, some ulama say that this hadith about embarking on a journey alone was abrogated and cancelled because Islam is no longer in insecurity. Islam is now secure. Before, Muslims were being targeted. You see. Now they're secure, they got the numbers, so they're no longer insecure. Now, insecurity, in my understanding, is in two ways. One is the physical insecurity, right? And one is your spiritual insecurity. Now, a person is traveling alone, right? He's traveling alone, a plane, from one end to the other end. Right? Now, you've got a young little girl sitting next to you. Can you say that you don't have any feelings? And if she is talking something with you, and you've got a long journey to undertake, will you say that you will feel absolutely relaxed with her sitting next to you, with her thighs exposed, and you won't feel anything? Like a farishta you'll feel. Can you say that? Absolutely nothing. She's engaging with you. She wants some company, some good time. She can see now you're a good person, yeah? So she's engaging with you. Can you say that you don't feel anything? But if there's a third person around, he's sitting next to you now, and he's holding you in a little bit of respect, right? Uncle or nephew, whatever. Now, what will you do? See, you know, I'm act pious now because of what my nephew is going to say. So you will have some type of a religious security with some person around you. Why? For someone around you, you will feel some type of a deeni security. Namaz times, you will be particular about namaz times. Hey, he's around now. And he's going to see that, hey, Abba is not performing namaz. So you'll be conscious about your namaz. Right? You know, and Abba told us, must look at video clips and must look at movies. So he's around, hey, how can I look at that movie? It's a long journey, but it's difficult to move without any movie. So now, someone is around, will you embark on that? You're not going to do it. Gonna feel embarrassed. You're not going to feel at ease. I'm doing this child of mine is watching what I'm doing. You will feel that uneasiness. So he's a spiritual security. So, this Hasan Shah Rahmatullah Ali, he takes him. You see the connection with Allah Ta'ala again. The primary concern is, Faridatun Ba'dal Farid. This is the primary obligation. Other obligations about yourself and your upkeeping also are obligations, but after you have got this right, you have got this right, then this is an obligation. Not at the expense of this obligation. Anyway, they are on the journey. Now, this Hasan Shah Rahmatullah is telling this Mulana Ihtisham Sahib, you know, the hadith says that when you're traveling together, then one person has to be appointed as the Amir. So you will be the Amir. Nonetheless, they're traveling. And as they're traveling, this Hasan Shah Sahib has got a bad bout of diarrhea. And every 20 minutes is going to the toilet and coming in. Or in the train, it's a little bit difficult, awkward. He's going, coming back, going and coming back. Now he's got his routine. It's a long journey, 2-3 days journey. So he's got his routine that he doesn't miss out, his tahajjud. Now when this young Murad Ihtisham Sahib, he was 17, 19 years of age, when he sees him in this condition, he's deteriorating like that, so he says, it's the Amir that you appointed. The Amir that you appointed is instructing you that you don't get up for tahajjud today. So silent. Story is closed. Amir, take instructions of the Amir. Why did you appoint him as the Amir? Now, at about 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, just about 1.5 hour before tahajjud, about 2 o'clock in the morning, the student is sleeping very well. Ihtisham Sahib is sleeping, now youngsters will sleep. He's sleeping very well. So at about 2 o'clock in the morning, he sees someone pressing his feet. And his eyes open up, and he sees that Maulana Hasan Shah is crying one way. He's crying, uncontrollable, he's crying. And he says to him, you see this connection with Allah Ta'ala, how important it is. He says to him, okay, you know, he said, you appointed me as the Amir. I appointed you as the Amir, right? And I can't defy the Amir. But it's about 50 years that I've taken bayat at the hands of Al-Mawad Gangway Sahib Rahmatullahi. From that day to today, I haven't missed out a single tahajjud. And you have asked me not to perform the tahajjud. So I ask you for the respect that you have for this buzurg, that you allow me, give me that permission to perform my tahajjud. He says, well, yes, definitely you must do it. But you see what I'm getting at is that connection with Allah Ta'ala is so refined, that even that namaz, he wants to do it. He doesn't want to do it with an uneasy mind. He says, on the one hand, I'm doing my namaz, but on the other hand, I'm breaking the command of the Amir. This is also an instruction of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and this is also an instruction of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so I can't violate one in order to fulfill the other. If I need to fulfill, I must fulfill both. But how do I reconcile? You see that connection. Not a slight amount of dirt within the connection. Absolutely straight. Now this is that real nisbat, that connection with Allah Ta'ala. You know, when you got that and you got it so sound, then you can't reverse it. Like I say, that fruit has become ripe, now you want to reverse that thing, make it green, can't happen. Man has become mature and you want to reverse him, you can't do it. Anyway, they reached wherever they needed to reach. Right. Now the host had given Murana about 19 or 20,000, offered it. So Murana refused the 20,000. He said, well, you came and you honored my occasion. Now you're talking about 1930s. So 20,000 was big money at the time, like 200,000 rand now, he offered it. Murana refused it. Anyway, they went to perform namaz and one person in the masjid offered him about 15 rupees. He accepted that, 15 rupees, and the 20,000 that he was offered before, he refused that. So now, students are trained to ask. When you see your senior, then you ask. Because just now the seniors will move. When they will move, then you need to understand the important lessons of their lives. So he asked him, you know what, that man offered you 20,000, you refused it. This person here gave 15 rupees and you accepted it. What's the difference? He said, you see, when this person invited me, so some israf had come into my heart. This person is calling me and he's going to offer me some money. You know, he's going to give me an envelope. You know, the old days when we used to go for a khatam or something, so they'll give you 5 cents, right? And they'll give the imam sahab some envelope also, right? So that was in going with the tradition that time. So I understood that perhaps some envelope is going to come. Now that is asking, that is like desires. You're not asking from the tongue, but you're asking from your heart. Let's hope this thing comes. Without me asking him verbally, he must give me something. So I was desiring for it and it came. Now for me to accept it is not right. There won't be nur, there won't be blessings, there won't be barakat in this money. Because my heart was asking for it, though I didn't ask for it verbally, but my heart was asking for it. So now, this will be void of barakat. There won't be any barakat in it at all. So what's the use of taking it when there's not going to be any barakat in it? We need that barakat, that blessing, that we can become more steady. We can become more rooted in our connection with Allah Ta'ala. Now for this 20,000 I must go and damage this connection, I don't want to do it. Well, then why did you accept that 15 rupees? So, well, that was unexpected, completely, absolutely unexpected. I didn't expect this man to give me anything. Right? And the hadith says, when someone offers you something and you have no expectations, you didn't ask him verbally, you didn't ask him mentally, anything, and he's given you, then you accept it. Otherwise, ulama ikram explain that if you don't accept it then when you have got a need, your need will not be fulfilled. Because now you didn't ask for it, you didn't even desire for it, and he's given, so Allah Pak has inspired his heart to give it to you. Now, when you're acting independent like this, when it's going to be your hour of need, then Allah Pak will not see to your need. Now, this was, I didn't ask for it, I didn't desire, I didn't have the least expectation that this person will offer me something. And then why did you give me half of it? You took 7.5 and you gave me 7.5. He said, well, this is an etiquette of traveling, when you're traveling, right? And someone brings something, right? Like how you'll have one senior person in a gathering, you'll have a senior person. So, you're bringing, for example, a dessert, right? A whole bowl of dessert. Ramzan, just imagine it's Ramzan time, and after iftar, after isha, you got a whole bowl of desserts, right? So when you bring that bowl of dessert, the normal etiquette, what is it? You leave it in the presence of the senior, right? Expecting the senior to share it with the rest of the crowd. That person is offering it, he doesn't expect the senior to finish the whole thing up, right? He expects him to share it with the rest of the crowd. So he'll have a couple of spoons and he'll share it with the rest of the crowd. So this is what I did, that I took the thing, right? You are accompanying me on this journey here, so I can't take it all myself. I need to take and you need to enjoy. You are a companion on this journey, and the etiquette of a companion is that I should share. So see, you take 7.5, I take 7.5. Alright, now they reached. Murad initially told him, you know what, you are young, and there's a deep trench, right? And perhaps you are young, so you can jump into the trench and do that foundation work, you know. I'm a little bit aged now, I may not be able to do it. But when they came to that trench, and they had to pour that foundation and jump into the trench, Maulana didn't allow the youngster, Hasan Shah Sahib, he didn't allow the young Alim, Ihtisam Sahib, to jump into the trench. He went himself and he did all the foundation, and he came up. So the student asked him again, but you know, you told me, you were taking me, one of the reasons was also, one is a security, one is that you're going to jump into the trench and then pour the foundation. But then you didn't allow me, you did it yourself. He said the reason for that was, you see, I am aged, right, and you are young. And you are an alim, I'm not an alim, right? And may Allah Ta'ala take khidmat from you, make Allah Ta'ala take service of deen from you. If you're going to jump, right, and say you break your leg, then it will hamper the khidmat of deen. I'm an old man now, I'm aged, I'm on my way out. I'm not doing much khidmat, I don't expect myself to do khidmat, right? So if I'm hurt, it's all right, one of those things, I'm not so active in the service of deen. But you are active in the service of deen, so you mustn't be hurt. But you see this relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how do we need to have this type of relationship? How do we need to secure this relationship? At any given time, is it secure? Or have we broken the thing? Have we broken the line? So the right way is quiet moments, you know, when we are not disturbed, not interrupted by any other thought. When we ask ourselves that we're going back to Allah Ta'ala. That first verse in the 23rd Sipara, مَا لِيَ لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. He created me, I started this entire journey from Him, and I'm going back to Him. I started from Him, and I'm returning to Him. So I need to see that the day that I'm with Allah Ta'ala, I'm returned, I've completed this journey, I'm safe and sound. That when I'm presenting myself before Him, then there isn't anything, any misdemeanor in my account. There isn't any type of inaccuracy in my account. My account is perfect, my account is clear. So that as I come to the immigration at that point, I'm going with a smile, with a cheer. I've got no anxiety, no pain, no worry, no anxiety whatsoever I've got. So I need to see that that relationship is not affected for anything for that matter. Now this is the whole essence of tasawuf. You know, we talk of tasawuf. So this is that tasawuf that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, get it right. Don't ever compromise that. And you'll only get it right if you are going to take an account of yourself. The business can only work out right when there's some accounting taking place. There's no accounting, money's coming, it's flowing like that. See? You can't become a wealthy person like that. Because if it's just flowing like this, it'll come and your pockets are all torn as it's coming, it's just flowing out. It's coming and it's flowing out. There's no budgeting, there's nothing going on. So it's going to come and it's going to flow out. So you need to understand that like your financial security, you need to keep some checks and balances. What are the checks and balances that we have got for this type of a security, which is such, when you're at that point, you can't ask for any help. I ask you, once you're in the graveyard, Brook Street or Dial Road or wherever else, right, Browns Avenue, wherever you are inside that pit, can you ask out for any help? Here, if you cry out, right, someone can come to you. At least he'll come and sympathize with you, isn't it? See, you don't have the money, at least someone will come and sympathize. You can't go to a private hospital, they can push you into a government hospital. Someone can help you do something, at least ease the pain, right? Help you ease the pain, give you some words of comfort or encouragement. But I ask you, when you're thrown into that pit, can you ask out and shout out for any type of help? Any type of recourse? So, that pit that you have gone that is irreversible, you can't move out of it, right? What type of security you require for that? This is also a security that you need. But this security is such, one thing fails, you can put something else in place. Second thing fails, then you can put the third thing in place. So there's a lot of alternatives here. But there is no alternative. So for that, what have you put into place? So the easy thing, very, very easy thing, is like, it's said in Arabic, حَاسِبُوا قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا حَاسِبُوا قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. Before that final accounting, then you start accounting yourself now. That final accounting, that final analysis will take place then. But before that, you start it off now. As you're going to sleep, in the quiet moment, you know they say muraqabah, meditation, this is that meditation. Sometimes we confuse ourselves with all this meditation and all that. Right? And when you see that person meditating, you see, hey, he's gone. Pello asman par ponchi gyo now. The second asman, third asman. Meditation really, what it means, muraqabah, what it means. In other words, to engage the mind in a thought that will lead you to the right end. The most right end. You engage the mind in a thought that will take you to the right end, to Allah Ta'ala. It will link you up to Allah Ta'ala, you engage your mind. So the greatest fact of life is death. Is there anything more real than death? Is there anything more true and more real than death? That's the most real fact of life. So when you're at that moment, that crucial moment, there's nobody there for you, nobody can assist. With all the love, the compassion, the kindness, generosity, everything, they can't do anything to you. That's the most real moment of life. Irreversible moment. You can't ask out for any type of help, no recourse, no substitute, nothing, no second chance, right? So you ask, now you put yourself, sometimes when you are quiet, there's nobody around, you in total isolation in your room, then you put yourself in the grave. Just put yourself for that moment in the grave. How does it feel to be all alone in the grave? I am alone, it's just me and Allah Ta'ala. Do I feel safe for myself, what I have done? My conduct, is it right? My ways, are they right? My namaz, are they right? My relationship with people, are they right? So you're asking all these things. You know, I was quoting that verse, لَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ. Don't decrease people in their rights. One is that I showed you, worker and boss relationship, right? And if you ask yourself, I was talking about an ordinary, simple person. What a qualified person. So he says, you know, in my work time, I don't even look into my cell phone. I said, but why don't you do this? He says, you know, I've sold my time to my boss, that 8 hours, to take away 5 minutes as though I'm cheating, because now the time belongs to him. When the time belongs to him, I can't take away 1 minute from him. Unless the boss very clearly tells me, you can use your phone. Then that is the sanction and the endorsement that I've got from my boss. But otherwise, to take 1 minute from him, I can't do it. I don't want to take it. Why must I take it? It doesn't belong to me now, that minute belongs to him. So now this happens when you know that there's a thing like accountability. Allah is saying, don't decrease. Right? So one is in the rights of people. Right? Number two, the rights of Allah Ta'ala. Our namaz, etc. We don't decrease the right of Allah Ta'ala. And number three, I'll have to expound on this, but the respect of people, right? Elder, father, your contemporary, your junior, and how would you treat people according to their ranks? In a masjid, you got an imam, you respect him, a muazzin, then a co-musalli. People according to the ranks, do you respect a wife to a husband to a wife, a father to a son to the father? People according to the ranks, it's also a right. Isn't that a right? A child to the father, a father to the son. Don't they have rights? So don't decrease people in their rights.